Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Oh, such a clutch pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
You fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
He shoots. He scores.
Go to Blinds.com for up to 45% off and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Go right now for up to 45% off at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Welcome back, Grant and Danny on the Fan in and around D.C. and in Richmond. 106.7 if you're around the nation's capital. 910 AM, 105.1 FM in Richmond and on radio.com. Wave Soda's awesome, and they are making our 5 at 5 possible right now. Wave Soda, super simple, bubbly water, a splash of real juice, and a little caffeine. It's unsweetened, no stevia or artificial sweeteners, just a clean finish, only 2 to 6 grams of sugar, 15 to 25 calories per can. Order now at wavesoda.com. And get 15% off by entering our promo code GAND. That's GAND. Number one, 5 at 5. If you missed Peter King on Grant and Danny today, podcast that interview. He was excellent. We talked about what it would take to get Deshaun Watson, and he had some thoughts on a package that Washington might have to put together.
If you're Martin Mayhew and Marty Herney and Ron Rivera, you're going to say, well, wait a second. We're not trading 2 1s, 2 2s, Chase Young and Terry McLaurin to get this guy. Well, I don't blame you. I don't think that you're in the wrong for not wanting to do this. The only thing I'm saying to you is someone will do this for a similar package. You know, could it be, let's say, for instance, Teddy Bridgewater, Christian McCaffrey, 3 1s and a 2? I'm just saying, something like that, if this trade happens, that is what it'll be. And we're all going to look at it and say how insane it is.
100% right. Because this doesn't happen. This does not happen. Phil Rivers happens, where they go, thank you so much. You're 39 years old. You've had 9 ACLs. You can't play anymore. Go somewhere else. That happens. Tom Brady happens. Even though, you know, he's among the greats of all time, people fall out of love. He's been there in New England for 10 decades, numbers approximate. That happens. 25 going on 26-year-olds who just came off their career best seasons are not available. This should not be happening, but it is. It's going to take an astronomical price. King is right.
People are not going to hear what I'm saying correctly. They're going to pounce on what they want to hear, and they're allowed to, I guess. Deshaun Watson is great, and I've been on record for many weeks as saying I think he's one of the better quarterbacks in football. I'd have to do a list. I think I'd put him in my top 5. I know he's high in my top 10. He had 4,800 yards that led the league last year, yards per attempt, yards per catch, other things like that. They were 4-12, and he was chasing a lot of games. They were behind all the time. They had a terrible defense. If you go back to when they were competitive in the last couple of years before that, when they were 11-5 and 10-5, he was right around 3,900 yards, 26 touchdowns, and 11 interceptions. Really good player, but you know, not astronomically statistically unbelievable. Led the league in getting sacked one of those years. But there's 10 game-winning drives in those two seasons. There's some really good things. He's great. But what is going to happen is, as he's not playing right now and the sweepstakes goes on and on, Danny, and teams are putting together these packages, he's going to become even better than he probably is. That's how this works. And so I think you need to be a little bit careful about packaging three ones and a two, or two twos and two ones, and you know, your best offensive player and your best defensive player all for Deshaun Watson. He's great. He's amazing. And to your point, guys like him aren't often available. I get why teams are interested. But as we saw in Houston, him and him alone is not enough, and he's going to need help. So let's say they don't want to go the route of Deshaun Watson, that crazy package that Peter King just put together there on our show earlier today. Well, the next tier down is a massive drop-off, and it could end with a guy who's not even really a starter right now, like Marcus Mariota being your starting quarterback. Ben Standig was on our show Friday. He's been spending time talking to league officials to figure out what Mariota would take as a trade chip. What would you need to give up to get him from the Raiders? Here's what he said.
And I think once it sort of came to Mariota might be a thing, and he is a name, and he had that one good game last year, you know, it sounded like there was some talk in, like, sort of the public square about maybe a day two pick is where this is at. And to me, that didn't make sense, because the Raiders have to get rid of him. They don't want that contract, which is, you know, roughly $11 million, a little bit less, on the books when they've got some salary cap stuff. And also, Mariota was, you know, he's sort of like a guy you have to rehab. So I was thinking a day three pick, and then checking with people around the league, that's sort of the consensus that I got, like a fifth round pick to be in line with what people were thinking. You know, if there's a bidding and it gets to a fourth, that's conceivable. Maybe it's even a little bit less, but a fifth round pick seemed to be about right if you wanted to make that move.
I would do that. Right? That's a flyer. And now, Mariota's got some contract details, and hey, maybe it might cost you a little bit, but bring in someone like that. I mean, that's what it took to get Kyle Allen, basically, right? I mean, this is a nothing burger for somebody that has a kind of a unique skill set, can run around and make a play or two. If you're not going to be good, you may as well be interesting. If you're not going to be competitive at a really high level and actually land a franchise guy, maybe you get a rehab project, maybe you get your own version of Ryan Tannehill, but also at a minimum, be somebody that's tough to play against in a division that looks like it might be up for grabs. I wouldn't hesitate to do that if that's the consolation prize.
Never been a big Mariota guy. I don't love him as a passer. I think, you know, the offense oftentimes, from a throwing the football standpoint, just the ceiling is too low for me. But if you look at some of his career numbers, 77 touchdowns, 45 picks, the kind of guy that doesn't make a ton of plays down the field but also doesn't beat you necessarily with a whole lot of mistakes. He had one season, I think, where he had double-digit interceptions in his career. I mean, there is a game manager to him. You know, there is, as you're talking about, a dual-threat mobility to him that makes him enticing. The only reason I would be particularly intrigued by Mariota is that it doesn't cost nearly as much. I don't know if Ben is right or not. He very well may be. He's super plugged in and talking to a lot of people. But if it really does take a fifth-round pick to get Marcus Mariota, fourth-round pick maybe to get him, that's way more interesting to me than a second for Sam Darnold, probably.
Right.
Certainly than giving up the farm, the entire ranch, all of my favorite things in my house to get Deshaun Watson. Don't hear me thinking that Mariota is in the same neighborhood as Deshaun Watson. He's not. But there's a difference between giving up two ones, two twos, Chase Young, Terry McLaurin, and giving up a fifth-round pick. The supporting cast around him would elevate him and help him at that point. Speaking of the football team before we move on, third of our 5 at 5 here. Today, there was some reaction in some of the circles where fans hang out online talking about Washington football that I guess their Journey website, it's alleged, changed the date on when they're going to give the name and the logo out, when they're going to make that announcement. It used to say coming in 2021. Now it says coming in 2022. This is something we've known was happening. Jason Wright has been saying, and he said on our show weeks ago, our first day on the air together here at Grant and Danny in Afternoon Drive, that he planned on the Washington football team being in 2022. But another thing he's been dealing with, Danny, is something exciting that we didn't know about, and that is that they might have some fans back in the stands this year. There is a story right now saying that the NFL is hopeful that they could have major capacity in stadiums. We were able to ask Jason Wright when he was on with us weeks ago about the one time Washington got to have fans in the stands this year and why they weren't able to in other games. Here's what he had to say.
Yeah, we always did as much as we could under government guidelines. That was our barometer all along the way. So when we were able to, that was the max we could get to when – we were working with Prince George's and the state, and for the playoff game, we just didn't have leeway. And I have to respect the authorities. They, you know, they've got the line of sight into the data and trends for the area. They're the stewards of public health, and we're going to be good stewards of that and fall in line with what they request. But heading into next year, we won't be in that situation, and I'm so glad because 1 year was enough of that. We missed our fans desperately, and if we could have had them there last week, we would have, and it probably would have made a difference.
Just a couple things quickly. I like hearing Jason Wright's voice. He makes me comfortable. Jason Wright makes me happy. There, I said it. That's on record. You and I are just talking. Just a couple of friends talking on the radio. I like Jason Wright a lot. That's number one. Number two, I think he brings up a very good point. The NFL deserves a ton of credit, and hear me out on this. Because everybody, and there were skeptics like me that said, I don't know how they're going to be able to do this without sort of being in a bubble like the NBA did or the NHL did, et cetera, they did a tremendous job to get all of their games in. Even when it sometimes looked like it was falling apart around them, it didn't. It ended up, the house stayed together. Whether you want to say they were lucky or not, I don't care. They did it. They deserve tons of credit for that. And the team, and Jason Wright specifically, taking their cues, Washington football team, they're not public health professionals. They're just going off of what guidelines are available to them, and they kind of worked within the rules there. And again, I think all of that is right on the line of where it should be. So kudos to the Washington football team, Jason Wright, and everybody else for not only, you know, not rocking the boat, but doing whatever they could and being willing listeners and partners. So tip of the cap.
Yeah, I'm just thrilled with the possibility of having fans back in the stands en masse and the optimism growing. This is from Mike Florio today. He says, as the nation begins to make real progress, and he talks about the vaccine that's now available, the National Football League has a growing sense of optimism that stadiums will be full during the 2021 season. From the availability of vaccines to signs of potential herd immunity, some believe that by Memorial Day, the tide will have turned dramatically. Then by Labor Day, the question becomes whether pro football will be able to pack its venues, as noted on Sunday. Salary cap calculations are proceeding under the assumption that the league will have 75% attendance in 2021. So I don't know what to tell you other than I'm thrilled about that. Now, hopefully that continues on the right path and all the signs are positive and people get their vaccines. It's good, though. It's good news. I want people in the stands. I think it's important for these sports. It's important for shows like this one. It's important for people's mental health to get back and do things in life, and it would be huge for the betterment of these games.
Awesome.
If there is a packed house and you got a full 70,000 people screaming when Washington's defense is trying to get a stop on 4th-and-1 this coming fall. Cam Newton does not know where he's going to play next year, and he was reminded about that by a high schooler at a camp that he was running that the high schooler was at to participate in. Cam Newton's running a camp for high school kids. And a high school kid was mean to Cam Newton, reminding him that he's a free agent and he might be poor, even though Cam Newton's telling him, I'm rich.
You ass. You're a free agent. You're a free agent.
I'm rich.
You're a free agent.
I'm rich.
You're about to be poor.
I'm rich.
You're about to be poor.
I'm rich.
You're about to be poor.
I'm rich.
You're a free agent.
I'm rich.
You're a free agent.
I'm rich.
He's a free agent.
Where's your daddy at? Let me talk to your dad. Let me talk to your dad. Where's your dad?
You're a free agent.
Where's your dad?
He's a free agent.
You're
a free agent. You ass.
Talk to him. Where's your dad? Where's your pop?
You ass.
Where's the
pack? Apparently, Cam Newton's a free agent. This is the argument cited by the young man in question, who got, I guess, his 15 minutes of fame here for yelling at Cam Newton at his own camp. I'm not quite sure what we're doing there or why or how, but here we are. And there's no good position for Cam Newton to be in, by the way. If he, like, embarrasses this kid or, you know, then that's bad or, I don't know, just put Cam in an awkward spot. So I actually thought he handled it with as much grace as you possibly could. But Cam Newton's career earnings, I think, well in excess of $100-some-odd million, I believe. I want to say $125 million over the course of his career. So, like, he's done just fine for the most part. And the idea of being a free agent doesn't necessarily make you poor. So, again, I'm a little confused as to why that interaction happened, but it did. And good for Cam Newton for handling it with a smile.
Yeah, I thought he was a champ in that. I mean, that's not cool. I can't imagine
taking
the time out of your schedule to go hang out with high school kids and then one of them being belittling. Now, I will say that this kid did take to social media today to post an apology. He said, first and foremost, I want to express my deepest apologies to Cam Newton, my entire organization, my coaches, for my actions at the 7-on-7 tournament this past weekend. I did not intend to get as far as it did. First, I would like to start off by saying my parents never taught me to be disrespectful as a football player. I let my competitive side get the best of me, and it was a huge miscommunication. It was in the midst of the moment I realize now how a lot of you took it as disrespect. I never meant to humiliate and let anyone down. I am very appreciative for 7-on-7 to even allow me to be a part of the community and allow me to be a part of the team that I'm currently on. He goes on with his apology. Seems like no harm, no foul, big picture here, but I guess the reason to even bring it up, like you, I was impressed by how Cam handled himself.
Mm-hmm.
Not a good situation to be in. I just can't imagine, because I can remember on the top of my head as a kid, you know, before I was lucky enough as a young person to start getting to do interviews and things like that as a media member. But as a kid, when you would get to meet people, like I went to ANN in Fredericksburg and got an autograph on a football from Gus Frerotte. You tell your Art Monk story. Like, I would drive hours and hours for these opportunities at a mall to meet up with some athlete or get a card signed or something. So to just be that comfortable where I'm just shouting at this guy who's a free agent and that he's going to be poor is amazing. But seems like the two of them have made amends on social media, so that's good. And finally, Danny, in our 5 at 5 to cap off the day that was, some of the things we wanted to get to that we haven't done enough today, Scott Brooks talking Russell Westbrook getting into a rhythm. Westbrook, a huge reason why the Wizards have won 4 in a row. Bradley Beal, 37 in his last game, continues to lead the NBA in scoring. The Wizards are playing their best basketball of the season, maybe of the last couple of years, and they got the Lakers tonight to try to get to 5 in a row.
He's getting in a rhythm. He's going to have more games like this. Guy's a championship player. How he prepares, how he talks to our guys, how we seem to be ready. And his voice was first quarter. And that's what you want your leaders to do. But, yeah, he shot the ball well. Turnovers, averaging a little over or whatever, under 5. I'm trying to get that down into high 3s. But he just makes plays. He puts so much pressure on the defense.
You can live with some of those turnovers. He's actually had 15 combined in his last two games. But we're not complaining about them because they come in what seems like a better flow of the game. I know this is very nebulous here, GP, but when there's nothing happening in the possession, four guys are standing around watching Russell Westbrook look around and sort of half drive and kind of kick it to somebody that's not there, and then that leads to a fast break in the other direction, you go, that's a terrible turnover. So 7 can feel like not as bad as some of the 5 games he's had here of late. But when he's making aggressive plays, getting to the basket and getting to the foul line, and you get some of those triple-doubles in that way, you can live with some of the turnovers because, as Brooks correctly said, he puts so much pressure on the defense. When he's doing that, this is a different team.
More on the Wiz at 6 o'clock with Jared Greenberg of NBA TV and Turner Sports. Can they beat the Lakers tonight? Does he expect them to? And are they going to make the playoffs? We'll get into that with Jared on Grant and Danny in about 40 minutes. Our free agency countdown continues next. We're going to talk about the tight end position. Also, as we continue on Grant and Danny, Deion Sanders made his debut as a head coach, and the Nats over-under win total is about what you'd expect it to be. We'll have to pick a side. You're listening to The Fan.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first 3 orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Spring is a time of renewal, so why not refresh your home with a little help from Blinds.com? We make getting custom window treatments a minor project with major impact. Choose from premium blinds, shades, and shutters. We even have options for your patio, too. Blinds.com invented a better way to shop for custom window treatments. There's no pushy salespeople in your home or inflated showroom prices. Our design experts can help you find the perfect window treatments on your schedule. We'll even send free samples directly to you. Plus, we can handle the measuring and installation for you. Unlimited window treatments installed for just one low cost. And with Blinds.com, you'll always get transparent pricing. No hidden fees. Our free shipping and 100% satisfaction guarantee can put the spring back into your step. And into your home, too. Shop Blinds.com right now and save up to 45%. Up to 45% off for a limited time at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Grant and Danny are counting you down to the start of NFL free agency. They're spending 20 shows looking ahead to the start of the new league year.
There's only one good choice for you here.
What will Washington do when the player movement begins?
Excellent choice.
It's time to find out on Grant and Danny.
We're 17 shows away from the start of the new league year and free agency. Welcome back, Grant and Danny on the Fan. Thanks, as always, for making the show part of your day. So today we're going to isolate the tight end position. We want to talk about whether or not you want or you need to get better at tight end to help the quarterbacking of this football team moving forward if you're Washington. We can open up the phones on this as we do each time we break down one of these topics in our free agency countdown. 800-636-1067 is how you can call us. AAA always on call listener lines. 800-636-1067. So, Danny, any tight end convo, Washington football team has to begin with the tremendous season and the wonderful breakout of Logan Thomas. You give this coaching staff that did a great job developing him and the scouting department that found him and brought him in, having never had in his entire career a quarter of what he did this past year in Washington, as far as production goes. But he caught 72 passes playing in every game this year, almost 700 yards and 6 touchdowns. He was one of the top players on this offense. You can't help but have been impressed about how much he developed, how far he came. The question is, as a good tight end, do you want someone who's a weapon? Do you look around and covet? You know, you see Kittle and Kelsey and Waller and some of these great players, they're not necessarily easily available, but there are free agents available, like Hunter Henry, Jared Cook, guys who could stretch the field, who could be speed options possibly. Would you want to draft a player in the second or the third round, perhaps, if you fall in love with someone? Is it something you now don't need to upgrade anymore because you have Logan Thomas? Should they still categorize it that way? Is it just something that you want to add to after he broke out? Because I know how the team felt last year. I told you this on the air. I was talking to people with the organization in the front office, and they said, we really like Logan Thomas. We think he could be a great tight end, too. He's going to be our one this year, but he'll be a tight end, too, and we want to go get a great tight end one. I don't know if they still feel that way, because that was before he did what he did in 2020 and finished the way that he did down the stretch.
He was really impressive. I mean, the player that played game one, named Logan Thomas, is quite simply not the player that was playing for the Washington football team in November, December. The dramatic improvement is a testament to him, this staff, and you're right, everybody that said, hey, we think this could be a guy or not, or somebody special and significant. His growth was amazing. It really was. He went from a guy that was right down at the very bottom of the league in terms of separation scores, catch percentage, just basically a guy that really wasn't getting open. And you know, no matter how you slice that, that's what it was. That changed. Those numbers improved dramatically over the course of the season. And he was up there with some pretty decent receivers. And for a guy that's that big, again, that's all that much more impressive. So my stance is this. The most important thing this offseason, non-quarterback division, for me is another weapon, playmaker, unstoppable, whatever you want to call it, on offense. I would like a wide receiver, but if it happens to be the best available for you is a tight end, let's say somehow, some way, Kyle Pitts, the kid out of Florida, is available, I'm not passing on him. My priority is a pass catcher that the other team cannot stop without significant resources. I think that's what's missing, the biggest thing missing on this offense, again, besides a quarterback. If it happens at tight end, I'm not going to complain about it. Can you get away with Logan Thomas being your number one pass catching tight end option? Absolutely. Something I never thought I would say, by the way, even as recently as, say, 6-7 months ago. And yet here we are, and I'm comfortable saying that.
What a testament to him.
100%.
Really, 100%. Take us a pause for a second and think about that. Like, when he was signed, we thought, well, maybe he'll make the team as a third tight end. We went into last season, and I don't mean you and I. We certainly did as well. We, collectively, whatever we are, DC fan base, media, both at times, saying the tight end position was unsatisfactory. I thought it was a joke of a position when they put it together. I couldn't believe that they threw Logan Thomas at the problem and wiped their hands and called it fixed. I was wrong. They were right. He was outstanding last season in that role. Could they do better? Yes. I think he has some things that I really like, some skills that have translated now. He's not even 30 years old. I think he's got a couple of very quality seasons left in him. He's a big-bodied rebounder. He's like a power forward, so to speak. 6'6 and 250. I think he'll be awesome in the red zone, vertically going up and getting the football, putting him out on an island and letting him go one-on-one, cover your ears. Football fans, throwing fades to him, jump balls, throwing back shoulder stuff like Aaron Rodgers loves to do to Devontae Adams. I think he's a weapon in that regard. And I think in the short and intermediate areas, he is an asset. I mean, he can separate himself and the football from defenders with his size, literally boxing people out like he's getting rebounds. He does not have great foot speed, and he's not going to be a guy, in my opinion, that stretches the field. Like, if you noticed, early in the year, more so than later in the year, he probably got better as a route runner. But he was covered a lot.
Yes.
A few times where some coverages got busted and he was wide open and would rumble down the sideline. But by and large, you're throwing into smaller windows, I think, and his size makes up for that. It's okay because he can make you right. He's got the catch radius and he can wrestle the ball away from people. But I do like the idea of speed at tight end, and the ability to stretch the field. I think that's what works in this league, either splitting a guy out, maybe you get a linebacker on him or a safety on him and he can run past him, or just work in the seam. You don't have to be Kittle or Kelce or Waller. Those guys are unique. But like Kyle Pitts, who you mentioned, who's going in the top 10, and who knows, maybe in the top 5, I think he's going to be a gold jacket type player in the National Football League. I can't imagine him not being an immediate superstar. There's only one of him in this class. I'm always looking for speed at tight end because it's a nightmare for defensive coordinators. But I guess the question is, how hungry are you? You always want great players. Everyone does. How hungry are you to add to that position? And I feel like I've eaten recently. I'm way less famished than I was. If I get another guy who's a solid blocker who could catch some passes in free agency now, I think I could feel pretty good. Like, I'll rule out a couple of the injury-prone players that are available, but I'm thinking, and I'm just looking at the highest-paid guys from this past year at tight end. The class is 27-year-old Hunter Henry. You got to really pay if you want him. He was linked to Washington at one point this offseason, by the way. I'd be really happy if they signed him, but he's probably more than I'm talking about now, Danny. To be like, I don't – that's more of you got to need, fill it with Hunter Henry. I'm talking about a want, so I'm not going that route. I would say – like the Jacob Hollister, who's 28, who played in Seattle, maybe a – you bring back like a Derek Carrier who was in Vegas with the Raiders, or a Gerald Everett, the 27-year-old coming over from the Rams, would interest me.
I'd be
somebody,
there, yeah.
Somebody like that probably. And it's just two quality tight ends. You go quantity over quality, so to speak, and you don't have a great one. I'd be cool with that. Which, going into last year, if you'd have said Logan Thomas and signing a Jag tight end, you know, maybe the guy I like the most is Tyler Croft, who I think was playing with the Bengals and the Bills recently with Buffalo. Like, if Tyler Croft paired with what you got right now in Logan Thomas, I would really like that tandem at tight end. And that's crazy to me that I've come that far on him.
Yeah, and again, the thing that I think is different, and that we need to sort of remember and maintain throughout here, is this staff really did this a couple times. They got more out of players than we're used to seeing here. I think a lot of people could coach Chase Young. I really do. Chase, do your best. I don't think a lot of people could make Cam Curl good. I don't think a lot of people could make J.D. McKissic and Logan Thomas combined for 150-some receptions. You know what I mean? Like, that to me is impressive, what this coaching staff did for a number of guys, taking the OKs, the Jags, the roster hopefuls, and turning them into guys that contributed for a team that exceeded expectations by an awful lot. And that was sort of emblematic of what this group was about this year. I think this staff, player development, to me, is one of the underrated parts of the league. We just think of these guys as finished products all the time, and they're certainly not, especially in the case of somebody like Thomas that was a quarterback an hour ago. It really is impressive.
Yeah, that doesn't just mean that they coached them into something that they weren't, but I also think usage is pivotal. And that's where you give, whether it's Del Rio or in the case of a Logan Thomas and Antonio Gibson, Scott Turner a lot of credit. Pete Hayner, who is the tight ends coach, like, I don't know how many of the coaches on the staff get like gold stars for this season. Maybe many of them do. But I'll tell you this, Pete Hayner, everyone that I've asked about him and everyone I've talked to in the building adores the guy, and his track record speaks for itself. He's a Rivera lifer. He goes anywhere Ron Rivera goes. But this is a guy that's worked closely with Greg Olsen, Vernon Davis, Delaney Walker. I mean, his track record with tight ends is immaculate. And his first season here, he turns Logan Thomas into an actual weapon in this offense. We had Rick Snyder of thefandc.com on the show earlier today in our Beltway Blitz, and we asked him this question about the tight end position and whether or not it's something Washington should spend money and time and any attention on this offseason. Here's what he had to say.
You know, you're tempted to do that, but this isn't one of your problem areas now. You know, Logan Thomas had, 72 catches? You know, he's still a young player. Was that a one-time thing based on your quarterbacking? Maybe. There's that great kid in college in the first round, the Pitts I've seen out of there. I mean, he's really a good tight end, but probably not going to get him. There isn't anybody else in the draft. We saw last year how a lot of big-money tight ends didn't do much in free agency. So I think they're okay with Logan.
They might also just go this route and say, you know what? He doesn't block a whole lot. Like, he runs on every pass play, he's out in a route. He's running, and he's not necessarily targeted, but he's there to be targeted. Maybe they decide who's the best blocking tight end available on the market.
Oh, that's
right,
interesting.
Now, you could draft a blocking tight end late, obviously, right? I don't even know that you'd have to draft a guy. But in the late rounds, you could get the best blocking tight end available, and that might be someone who's an extra tackle for you. But I think that's an option, too. If they wanted to just look at the market and say, we could use a tight end that could catch 16 passes, but in the meantime, let's help double team and take away some edge rushers. And Logan Thomas is going to be our guy. He's a former quarterback. He's not going to be a great blocker who's out there running around catching passes. That could be a way to think about this as well. But let's open up the phones. Let's see what you guys think. Let's touch the people next. 800-636-1067 is the number. The tight end position going into last offseason looked like a mess. Coming out of the offseason, most of us thought they didn't do nearly enough to address it. Now you've got Logan Thomas, who's proven himself to be a quality player. He's a pretty solid, top half the league type tight end option, who is a fantasy stalwart for a lot of people this year, and he's great in the red zone. Would you spend money on a upgrade over Logan Thomas, knowing that you've got $30 million in cap space? Or would you say, he's good enough, I'm just going to look for someone to supplement him, a secondary option at the tight end spot? 800-636-1067. Danny, we can also get into something I know you want to, which is Deion Sanders' coaching
debut. Coach Prime!
Coach Prime, boys and girls.
I'm so sure.
Next on The Fan.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic and conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Grant, Danny, presented by BetQL, where you can bet smarter and beat the books. Download the BetQL app today or visit BetQL.com. The Wiz have won four straight. They play the Lakers tonight, trying to make it five. Jared Greenberg of Turner Sports and NBA TV will tell us if they will. Talking tight ends in our free agency preview. Started with 20 shows to go ahead of free agency. Counting today, 17 shows out from the start of the league year. Going to go by like a blink. Let's put a final thought on this tight end convo, Danny, before we get to the debut of Deion Sanders as a head coach, which we wanted to spend a few minutes on. I'm perfectly fine adding a tight end. The idea of a Hunter Henry as an example, who's the best available tight end, does excite me. I don't think that's a position you can have enough talent at, and I think it changes offenses. It makes a bad offense mediocre and a mediocre one really good. It's a great area now in the NFL to address to try to create matchup problems. I think Thomas is good enough, though, if you want to spend elsewhere. As an example, left tackle, to me, bigger need. Right now, this moment, wide receiver, bigger need. I would say if you don't re-sign Brandon Scherff, the interior of offensive line, bigger need. Maybe even cornerback and or safety in your secondary, bigger needs. Because you've got a very solid and serviceable top tight end, but you've got to add depth there. If something were to happen to him, you're done. You have no other tight end that you could even count on to catch 50 balls in a season. So they got to do something. It's just not a marquee area of concern for me anymore.
So the way I've phrased this, and I was talking to a buddy about this not that long ago, was basically, to me, I'm just finding a playmaker. I need to find the dynamic offensive playmaker. I don't care what position he plays. Now, I wouldn't be as excited about running back because you've got something decent there, and that was kind of, that's kind of be a diminishing return. But I just mean in terms of pass catchers. Somebody that defenses cannot stop without committing tons of resources. I think that's what's missing from this offense, something truly dynamic. And if that happens to be a tight end, not as if there's a ton of guys available. We've gone through the guys that are likely free agents, and the best is Hunter Henry, off injured, mind you. But even that guy's probably not, you know, beating people down the seam. You know, this isn't Travis Kelce. This is a good player. I think he's better than Logan Thomas when healthy, but we don't have a great track record there. So if it happens to be a tight end, I don't know how it would end up being, but let's say that it is. That upgrades your offense a little bit. I'm perfectly fine with that, but it's not a priority. You're right. You could do a lot worse than Logan Thomas. I think you could do not that much worse than having Kelvin Harmon and Cam Sims battle out for your number two.
You sent the email with the story. I think it was Yahoo had written it up, or SI perhaps, on the first game that Deion Sanders spent as a head coach at Jackson State. And some of the details are just epic. I mean, out of a movie, almost comical. The first and foremost craziest thing that happened was his team won huge, obviously. They were playing down a couple of levels and you know, had invited some school in to get beat up, basically. But so they win huge, and he's doing a cool thing. He's trying to bring some reverence and some respect and some attention back to historically black college football, and I think that that's great. apparently during the game, he had a bunch of stuff stolen out of his locker, and he spent the entire post-game press conference after the game basically telling the perp that they were going to find him. And then the school came out and said that the stuff wasn't stolen, it was just a misunderstanding. And then Deion Sanders doubled down and said it was stolen. And then the school came back out and issued a statement saying, well, actually, the stuff it was stolen, he's right. It was so weird. And that was just one of the 50 things that was crazy. Troy Aikman showed up to this stadium where they didn't have running water this weekend in a white limousine and walked out onto the field in pregame warmups to, like, dap up Deion. And he got introduced out of the tunnel before the team did, and they kept referring to him on the speaker as Coach Deion. I mean, Danny, the PA guy in the press box was letting people in the know in the press box, like, what yard line he was at in case they wanted to watch him during the game. Coach Prime is now at the 40. Like, what a weird scene.
This may be too harsh of a reaction, if I'm being honest. But this seemed like it's now a sideshow, where what was a noble and really cool idea that Deion Sanders goes to what, quite frankly, is kind of a downtrodden program here to try to bring relevancy and, as you said, this wonderful mission of kind of restoring some glory to historically black college football, that turns it into a joke where you're announcing where the coach is on the field. And come, why? I mean, it's like Tom Hanks' character in A League of Their Own. Please welcome Jimmy Dugan. And he's waving at the game is important. Now, I know they're beating up on some NAIA team, and that's awesome. They beat 50, it sounds like they beat some guy named Edward Waters. I've never heard of that guy before, but Jackson State wins that game. But then you get this entire bizarre amateur hour thing where Deion Sanders' stuff was stolen. The school said it wasn't. He says it was. They're like, okay, yeah, it turns out that it was. I mean, what are we doing? Coach Prime is at the 37, ladies and gentlemen. Maybe the football team is playing, and there could be some attention on the kids. Crazy.
But if, in fact, in the end, he gets some attention for this program and for his cause, so to speak, which he says is to try to bring some attention back to football for historically black colleges, that's a really good thing.
I mean, that is positive.
That would be a huge win. But it was a lot about Deion. Now, how much of that was Deion, because that's his style? Probably some, I would say. I mean, but is he requesting that during the prayer, which they talked about, like the preacher asking to please bless Coach Prime today? And, like, is he asking the preacher to do that? No, I just think some people have this larger-than-life persona, and he's probably one of them, where they told him, hey, you're going out of the tunnel first. Like, do you think he went up to him and said, hey, before you announce our offense, make sure you send me out of the tunnel first? And they say, now introducing the head coach of Jackson State, Coach Prime. I also thought it was so weird that they kept calling him Coach Prime. Like, normally coaches don't go by their one-syllable nickname.
It read to me like a sideshow. And that, to me, long-term, can't be the right thing. I don't know much. I don't know how to bring relevance back to Jackson State's program. I don't. I'm not smart enough to do that. I'm just
Why
a pudgy
don't you,
idiot.
Danny?
I'm just a pudgy idiot that's lucky to have the gig that I've got. But I'm telling you, that made my skin crawl. That it's, ladies and gentlemen, check out Coach Prime. And at halftime, he might juggle. Maybe he'll intercept a pass and high step it. You'll never know. Keep your eyes peeled. What are we doing? He's got great recruits, including his son. It's awesome.
Hopefully they keep winning, and hopefully nothing gets stolen out of his locker. Jared Greenberg on The Wiz next.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice-cold reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Medela is your reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Hey everyone, Boomer Esiason here. The NFL Draft is behind us and your favorite team is now gearing up for week number one. The free Odyssey app puts you right in the middle of the pro football conversation with the biggest sports radio stations from across the country. The local voices who know your team the best, giving you their unfiltered takes on the current state of your squad. It's always football season right here on the free Odyssey app.
Yeah. stretch run of Grant and Danny on the Fan with you until 6:30 tonight. The marathon continuing. It's been a lot of fun. I do want to let you know, tomorrow, right off the top of the show at 2:20, Nationals manager Davey Martinez will be with us. We're excited to talk to the skipper about the ball club that he and Mike Rizzo put together this offseason as the Nats try to bounce back from a 2020 that might as well have not even happened in the pandemic-shortened season. Speaking of bouncing back, how about the Wizards? Break them up. Winners of four in a row, looking for a fifth straight win against the Lakers tonight. NBA on TNT and NBA TV host Jared Greenberg joins us now to discuss whether or not they're going to get that elusive fifth straight win. Jared, so good to have you back on the show, man. Grant and Danny here in D.C. How are you?
Grant and Danny, forget about a fifth straight win. Let's talk about a championship.
That's right. Here we go.
Now you're speaking our language. You know, what's crazy is we both came into the season with much higher expectations than, you know, just trying to get into the playoffs. I mean, we didn't think they'd be better than a 7 or an 8 seed, but they wouldn't be an embarrassment. Then Westbrook looked terrible. They looked awful, and we both said, well, maybe they'll get a top 2 or 3 pick. And now here they go. They're right back in the mix for the back of the Eastern Conference postseason picture. What are the Wizards? Who are the Wizards?
Well, you know, from my standpoint, the show that I do on NBA TV, it's like our version of Red Zone. It's crunch time on Wednesdays and Fridays. And the only reason I bring it up is because, you know, a lot of times the early East Coast start games aren't as entertaining as the later games in the night. But we have had Bradley Beal to look forward to every time the Wizards play, and we're able to live look those games and listen into, you know, watch some of those games. Because I just think, like, he's as entertaining as any player in the NBA is right now. And, you know, I think for clear and good perspective, I've taken a close look at this team, and I know how hammered they have been by not only the health and safety protocol, but other injuries as well. And, you know, more games postponed than any other team due to health and safety protocol. So I think it's been a bit unfair. With that said, I also think, you know, as you guys knew coming into this year, it's a weird blend of, all right, you've got Westbrook and you've got Beal. And then you've got a whole bunch of other pieces that are mostly young guys that you're trying to figure out who they are. And, you know, most of the time in the NBA, when you have a situation like that, you're going to struggle. You're going to have issues. And especially when you don't have time to practice, because nobody's practicing in the NBA anymore. And the fact that you've had so much inconsistency with the lineup, this is kind of what you get. And at some point, guys like Beal and Westbrook, you'd hope would will you to a couple of wins. And I think that's what's happened over the last 2 weeks or so here.
So, Jared, I'm with you in the sense that nobody's going to be good if you've got to play Raul Neto, you know, Robin Lopez, and Alex Len for 30 minutes each a night. I understand that.
Right.
But the problems are the same ones that Scott Brooks has had before now, right? Before now, the problems are the same ones he's had for the last several years, where this group hates defense like I do on my third run at the YMCA on a Sunday morning. They're giving up 40% from three. They can't bother to guard anybody for more than a minute at a time. And all of a sudden this last week, they decided, oh, yeah, that's right. We got to check people. And the proof is in the pudding. They're all of a sudden playing good basketball. Just what do you make of all that?
Well, I also think, you know, you got to look at who you're playing at times too, right? Like, listen, I was talking to a station in Denver the day after the Wizards beat the Nuggets, and you can only imagine what they were saying after blowing a 20-point lead, you know, to the Wizards, right? So, like, there's a lot that goes into this, and that's why, like, these small sample sizes of just four or five games is going to be tough, because, you know, we could do the same conversation in a week from now, and the Wizards could, you know, limp into the All-Star break having lost four in a row, and then you're saying we're back to square one. So I don't know. Like, the defense aspect is troubling. Like, that's an issue. But again, not to get Scott Brooks off the hook on this, because by no means am I, but when you're playing so many young guys and counting on so many young guys, and you're like, listen, in the ideal situation, you know, we're not even talking about Alex Len and Robin Lopez. We're talking about Rui and Denny and mixing in Bertans, right? Like, and those guys just haven't been on the court that many minutes together. So there comes a chemistry factor. Now, again, I'm not trying to make excuses. The Wizards have been beyond porous, but you know, once you start to get some guys time together, I think that's when you'll get a better judge of, is Scott Brooks doing enough with this team?
Jared S. Greenberg on Twitter. Great follow if you're an NBA fan. Give us the national perspective, if you would, on Beal right now. You know how much we love him in D.C. Yeah. It seems like everyone's just waiting for him to leave here and go to one of these other teams and form a super team. I mean, he's going to run away as of right now with the NBA scoring title. I have to imagine after he finally became an All-Star game starter, last year didn't even make the game, that right. he is now nationally, I don't want to say beloved, but among the elite that people notice and care about.
Well, let's get it straight here. From the national perspective, the reason why he's talked about so much and the reason why he's loved is because he's the next guy on the list that everybody wants to, you know, pluck from the team he's currently in and help make their team a championship contender, whatever city they're in or whatever team the person you're talking to roots for. Like, that's why. Like, the worst thing that happened to Bradley Beal and the Wizards was that James Harden was traded. Because then Harden fell off the list, and you know, the natural thing that we do in the media and as basketball fans, and whether it's a good thing or a bad thing, is look for that next big storyline, the next big controversy, and we think it's coming out of D.C. But the bad news I have for the rest of the NBA is I truly believe Bradley Beal, and I truly believe in Tommy Shepard, that they are not actively looking to move on from Bradley Beal. I think that this organization, while as troubled as they have been at times this year, as bad as they have been, they see that ultimately they're going to need a Bradley Beal type player to get to the next step once these young guys mature and hopefully Rui and Denny become who you think they could become. And you're going to need a Bradley Beal. So why trade him away for, you know, some trash or for some draft picks that you have no idea what they're going to end up being in 2, 3, or 4, or 5 years down the road. So I genuinely believe both sides that they're not looking to be move on. And I believe that with the John Wall trade, because it seemed to me like they went all in and saying, listen, Brad, this is your organization. Maybe we've made some mistakes in the past. They revamped the front office this year, and let's just go all in on you. Let's build around some of these young players. And then ultimately, when we need to make a couple of trades here or there, it won't be for you. It'll be because of you.
Jared, it sounds like I'm just griping about Scott Brooks. And I don't mean for that to be the case here. But I love Denny. I think that dude can play. I think that was a steal. Yeah. I didn't think he was going to be there at 9. I don't think they thought it either. And they just said, it may not be a need, but that dude can do a lot of things. I feel like it's having a Ferrari and they're just driving around the cul-de-sac a couple times, delivering a newspaper, and that's it. I need more from him. I need him to be used in a bunch of different ways, and I feel like that's not possible when you got those two ball-dominant guards on the court. What do you see from him, and how can they get more out of him?
Well, I completely agree with you that I love that pick on draft night. I've been following Denny the last couple of years, had the opportunity to meet him a couple of years ago when he was first starting to think about his NBA career, and I think he's got as bright of a future in it as anybody in this draft class does with his God-given abilities. And then also, you know, and I hate to lump international players into the same basket, but we are seeing time and time again how much value playing professional basketball means to these young guys, so much more so in times than playing high-level college basketball in America. Right? Like, I think, you know, if you guys have checked out LaMelo Ball, how well he's played, I think a lot of it, obviously, is he's that good, right? But I also think he's been advanced because he played in Europe and then went to go play in Australia, and I think that truly helped him, and I think the same thing with Denny. But that was my issue with the Russell Westbrook trade, right? And is that he's the type of guy that you're going to look and see all these assists and say he's a triple-double machine, but when you truly watch the Wizards or have watched the Rockets or the Thunder before with Russell Westbrook, he's not necessarily always making the best basketball play. A lot of his assists come from late shot clock. Oh boy, I'm in trouble. Here's the ball. And is he giving it to Bertans in his shooting pocket? No, he's got to make an adjustment. He's got to, you know, go find the right angle to go shoot at. You know, Westbrook, I don't know, he has a feel for his teammates the way you think of other point guards and how they operate. And learning time and situation and rhythm of the game, like if a guy's hot, keep on feeding him. You know, one of the things that Westbrook did so well that I think made him attractive to the Wizards last year was that he stopped. They got rid of Clint Capella to open up the inside in Houston for him to be able to drive, to get and-one opportunities because they knew how bad of a shooter he was. So essentially he stopped shooting. It wasn't that he became a better shooter or a smarter shooter. He just didn't do it. And now that he's not being, I don't know whether it's coached that way or he doesn't believe in himself to continue to do that or he wants Brad to be that guy, Westbrook is a guy that's going to, I don't want to say hurt the growth of some of these other younger guys, but he's not the point guard out there that I can see making Denny better.
Crunch Time is the show you can watch Jared Greenberg on NBA TV, spinning y'all around the association a couple days a week. Hey, before we let you go, the game tonight for the Wizards, 10 o'clock tip in L.A. The Lakers are good at home. They're good everywhere. But they're trying to get that fifth straight win, as we mentioned off the top. I mean, give us a little thought on the Lakers, if you would, tonight's opponent, and what kind of chance you give Washington as seven-point dogs.
Well, I go back to the Crunch Time show. You know, I think, and I don't know the exact gambling odds here, but I would imagine that the Wizards are probably pretty good against the spread this year. That would be my guess. They don't win many games, but they make them competitive. They make them interesting, whether they take a lead and blow the lead or come back from a big deficit. So, I think the Lakers are hungry after the weekend they've had, after getting beat by Miami and getting beat by Brooklyn. I think they're probably not too pleased with how they've been playing. Assuming LeBron plays tonight, which I believe he probably will, we haven't heard official word yet, still without Anthony Davis, I would imagine the Lakers are going to be a pretty angry team. With all that said about the spread, you know, now that I'm talking about it out loud with how angry the Lakers may be tonight, maybe the Wizards wouldn't cover. So I probably talked out of both sides of my mouth there. Sorry, guys.
Well, no, you use your vast influence in your network and tell LeBron to sit this one out. Let's get five straight here.
Oh, yeah. Well, you know, nationally, the game won't be in D.C. on NBA TV, but nationally it's on NBA TV. I'm not working tonight, but I am a company man, so I kind of do hope LeBron plays. Sorry, guys. You know,
there you go. Okay.
Yeah.
Your bosses will be proud of you. Jared, you know what we think of you, man. You kill it. You crush it, and we're proud
appreciate
to have
it.
You on the
Thank
show.
You.
Thanks for hopping on with us.
Thanks, Jared.
Fellas, love talking with you. Thank you so much.
Be well. And we like talking hoops with Jared Greenberg. Check him out. Again, it's Crunch Time, NBA TV. You see him on the sideline, too, for Turner Sports for plenty of their NBA games. A chance to get a fifth straight tonight. I don't feel great about Washington beating the Lakers. I had a better feel, weirdly enough, about Portland. But the plus seven is enticing to me. I could see this being a close game. Yeah, just but again, going into the Portland game, I felt like in early it looked like a terrible pick. They gave up 43 points in the first quarter, but I thought they're going to win this game. They're going to get a fourth straight. I don't have that same gut feel tonight against the Lake Show. And they don't have Anthony Davis. It's not the version of themselves they'll be when they're vying for a title at the end of the year. So in some way, they're probably right for the taking. A 22-9 right now, you'd think they'd be a few games better than that probably. But I feel like this could be the evening out. You know, a couple of those shots don't fall that have been for them. A couple of those threes. I mentioned that opponents were hitting only 32% of three-pointers during this four-game winning streak. They were at well over 40% the seven games before that. Some of that stuff evens out when you've been getting some good breaks.
Oh, indeed. And if LeBron somehow doesn't play, I know Jared was saying that he might. Last I saw, he was a game-time decision, which probably means he's going to play. And it probably means he's going to absolutely dominate this team because there's very few guys that are an answer for him, and that's been the case his entire, you know, whatever it is, 15, 16-year, 18-year career now. But there's especially nobody on Washington who can stand in front of him, and he's going to be impossible to deal with. But they've got a number of injuries in L.A. They're nursing it. I mean, no Anthony Davis for a while. They're going to kind of get, it's going to be the LeBron and some shooter show as it was in Cleveland when he dragged that group to the NBA Finals a couple times. So it is a steep challenge for sure.
All right, a couple of quick hitters on the way out of here today on Grant and Danny. First, I don't know if you saw this story, but the Colts have a wide receiver that wears number 11, Michael Pittman Jr., who they drafted last year. Wasn't all that involved in their offense, had some decent moments, a solid enough rookie season that you feel like moving forward, you know, maybe he's going to be a good wide receiver for them. He wore number 6 in college at USC. He started with the Colts, number 86, and he settled into number 11 after cutdowns, and that's what he wore as a rookie. I don't know if the number's important to him or not, but they traded for Carson Wentz, and so the thought was, he's the quarterback. They just gave up a ton for him. He's going to come over, and he's going to wear number 11. Michael Pittman's not having it. He told TMZ Sports, I am number 11. I don't think there's any deal that is going to be done. Apparently, he and Wentz had like one conversation, and he basically said, I don't really want to change numbers, dude. And Carson Wentz was like, okay, no problem. Yeah, I spoke to Carson, and he was just seeing how locked in I was to number 11. And I told him I was locked in. And he was like, that's cool, bro. I'm probably going to switch anyway. He asked me very respectfully, and I just appreciated him for that. I think he's a great dude because lots of guys with that status, they would come in and demand and stuff like that, end quote. Michael Pittman, you're a rookie.
Okay.
You didn't have the greatest year last year, but I think that the Colts really like you and they think highly of you. The quarterback that's going to be deciding who he throws the ball to and who he makes his best buddy and who he feeds, you can't eat unless he puts that food on your plate. If you want to do that Ezekiel Elliott thing where you put your left hand in front of you and your right hand in a little circle like a spoon, you're eating porridge, something like that, you need Carson Wentz to make that food. You're a wide receiver. You can't just throw the ball to yourself, dude. Your first step in your relationship with Carson Wentz is to not give him a number that seemingly isn't that important to you. Now, maybe he's got some backstory. But his father, I know Michael Pittman. I know the Bucks, Michael Pittman. I think 32 is the number that stands out to me off the top of my head. He didn't wear 11 in college. He didn't even wear 11 when he showed up with the Colts. Like, it became that important to you to be number 11 now? Danny, if I'm a wide receiver, I'm asking the quarterback what they want for lunch. I'm picking him up a Chick-fil-A sandwich every single day on my way into the office. I'm texting him at night before he goes to bed to see if he needs me to come over and set up a fan so he has that natural, like, noise in his room, just how he likes it. I'm buying him a new pair of socks if I see he's got a hole in his sock. Whatever you need, feed me the football. Involve me, please.
Malone, what a story this was. Is there some number you prefer? Because I'll arrange it. I'll talk to anyone you'd like, sir.
Yeah, well, interesting to me, dude. Unless this is a great negotiating tactic to drive up the asking price, right? Like, as guys do stuff like this all the time, where it's like, I'll buy you a car, I'll buy you a watch, or dinner for a month, whatever it is. Guys have, like, held their numbers for ransom. If that's what this is, savvy move. If it's not, I'm kind of with you. I would go, hey, Carson, how's it going? Michael Pittman sounds like, hey, Carson, it's Michael. Do you want number 11? If you throw me the ball.
Do you know what number 11. Carson Wentz wore in college, by the way?
3.
Number 11!
Oh,
same number he wore with the Eagles. He'll pay you Michael Pittman Jr. He probably likes the number.
He's got money.
40 catches, 503 yards, and a touchdown. Not nothing. If he was a pick by Washington, he was drafted this past year with the 34th overall pick, beginning of the second round. I would be very happy to have Michael Pittman, who's 6'4 and 225 for the future. I think he's going to be awesome. I hope people don't think, listening to this, I'm not a Michael Pittman guy. I think he's good. I think he's going to be.
I thought he'd be really good.
A standout. This is silly to me. Your quarterback's just showing up. Become his best friend. Go to movies with him. Go out to eat with him and pick up the tab. When you're going into the restaurant, if he's chilly, put your jacket around him. Maybe link arms like you're walking someone down the aisle at a wedding when you're an usher going to and from the mall. Everything that you're doing right now, stop doing it, Michael Pittman, and start just letting Carson Wentz do whatever he wants so that he can throw you the football more often. That's where I'm
all
at
in on that.
I was surprised by that.
Yeah, if you're holding out for a little bit more cash for another comma in that payment that's under the table coming your way, that's smart. If you're actually being a jerk about it, I would stop doing that. That's just me.
I'm not even saying he's being a jerk. I'm just saying, really? I'm just surprised.
Jerk's the wrong word. Maybe being like a hardo about it,
Yeah. If he wore it in college, it'd be one thing. It's like, oh, this is this guy's number. But the story I read, he was 6 in college. He was 86 when he showed up with the Colts. He became 11 when maybe he feels like I saw a few jerseys. People got 11 Pittman jerseys, so I don't want to do them dirty, which is respectable enough. But this is fairly commonplace. The quarterback has been acquired. Your GM, Chris Ballard, basically just said, this guy's taking you to the Super Bowl. You're not giving him your number? All right.
You're not going to?
I would just be here's what I would say. How much money do you want to give me for it? I'll take whatever money you're giving me for it. It's yours. And he'd be like, oh, I'll take you out to dinner. I'd be like, really? That's very cheap of you. But okay, fine. We're going to a steakhouse. Some of these guys, give up thousands of dollars for it. Weird, man. It is time to figure out what we learned today on G&D.
Here's what I learned from January to November in the year of our Lord 2020. Bruce Allen and John Moog, a person of interest in this entire Washington football team minority owners would like to sell their shares, and Dan Snyder's blocking Dwight Schar, and everyone's in court now, and there's lawsuits, etc. Bruce Allen and John Moog allegedly, let me do it, Jim Rome style, allegedly, spoke on the telephone in 10 months 87 times for an excess of 22 hours, in addition to countless texts and emails. So much communication between two people. There is no one in my life that I speak to that much on the phone. No one. That's unbelievable.
What I learned today, one of our regular guests and a writer on our website, a man that we respect and like, who's covered the football team for nearly 30 years, Rick Snyder of thefandc.com, came out of a grocery store and decided he was going to buy Girl Scout cookies, and he said, and I quote, "Just give me whatever box is closest to you." Mm-mm-mm. What? Mm-mm-mm. Who does this? When you get Girl Scout cookies, that's a gift. You get Girl Scout cookies, that is a, I would say a week, but more like a night, maybe a day, hours. A couple sleeves worth of fun. You take advantage of that opportunity, and you say, "You got that green box of Thin Mints back there? That's the one I want." So what I learned today was not enough appreciation for Thin Mints among our web staff. Perhaps tomorrow we can interview Blue Shorts on his favorite cookie type from the Girl Scouts.
I'd love to do that.
Should we? I mean, because this could be a real issue, Danny. If this is something that Rick thinks, who else on our website staff doesn't like Thin Mints? It might
he
just not.
He said they
could
were
be
last,
him.
Grant. Last?
Last.
He didn't just say, "Oh, I prefer others," which is wrong, but that's fine. You could prefer the new s'mores cookie, which is very good, or you like taco. He said last, all of the varieties, and then Thin Mints.
Unacceptable. Darius, what's your favorite type of Girl Scout cookie?
Oh, no. I was hoping you weren't going to do it. Guys, I don't like Thin Mints either.
Oh, for God's sake!
Darius!
The nerve
of you!
I don't like Thin Mints. I don't like chocolate and mint. I don't believe those are two things that belong together. I don't.
The audacity. Not of hope, but the audacity of being just not appreciative of a great food. Disappointing, Darius. You've been hitting a lot of home runs for us lately. This
was
a strikeout.
Betrayal.
Hang your head, walk back to the dugout, and act like nothing happened. Mm. Don't worry, you get another at-bat later. Lineup's coming back around. God, that's disappointing. That is rough. Big thanks to all of you for listening. If you missed Peter King, who was awesome, or A.J. Perez, who had the story in the reporting on apparently Jeff Bezos sniffing around with his attorney on the stakes from the Washington football team that the minority owners were putting up for sale, make sure you grab those podcasts at thefandc.com. Big night for me, Danny. We got hometowns on The Bachelor tonight. Hometowns, baby.
Oh, okay.
Get ready for my two-minute drill tomorrow. I'm going to break it all down for you right here on
G&D. I'll be ready.
Chris Miles is next. For Vic and Darius and Danny, I'm Grant saying so long. We love you. We'll talk to you tomorrow.
Oh, such a clutch pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, a Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
He shoots. He scores.
Go to Blinds.com for up to 45% off and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Go right now for up to 45% off at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.